The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the first Sunday of Advent. Today we'll hear the Gospel of St. Matthew and also read and discuss the Word of Life for December. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
For 56 years, Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi has provided Christmas food baskets to needy people in the 12 counties of the diocese. For 41 years, they partnered with the Marines Toys for Tots program, helping to fill the stockings of area children. This year, Catholic Charities will deliver 2,300 Christmas meals to area households and Christmas toys to hundreds of local children up to age 17. November 2nd through 30th, Catholic Charities will be accepting applications at their 615 Oliver Court offices. For both food baskets and toys, distribution dates are December 19th through 22nd. You can help with this effort by volunteering to take registration applications to ensure another successful Christmas effort from Catholic Charities. Why not start now by calling Kathy Pekar at 361-884-0651.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very good, Barbara. Happy Advent to you and to all of our listeners.
I know. It's hard to believe that it's here, but it's a very exciting time.
Well, you know, you say that every Sunday. It's hard to believe something, and it is hard to believe something, but it just shows that the earth is alive, we're alive, and we keep moving forward. So,
and we thank our blessings for all of that.
Right.
Well, we're on a new liturgical cycle, so our gospel this morning is from St. Matthew, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, as I was preparing for this Sunday, I read that, you know, this particular gospel is from Matthew chapter 24, that chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew paint a very vivid picture of the end of time and call for constant watchfulness, because we never know when the Son of Man's going to return.
Yes, and what always strikes me at this time is, you know, last Sunday with the Feast of Christ, King of the Universe, we finished the liturgical year, and now we start a new liturgical year, Advent, of course, in preparation and in anticipation of the first coming of Christ, and also a preparation for the second coming of Christ. But that being said, it's like we go to the end of the gospel instead of something being at the beginning. Of course, our prophetic readings from Isaiah speak more of that anticipation of the coming. But it takes us in the gospel to the end, which is very important as we begin the Advent season, because that, as you said, the chapter 24 and 25 speak of that preparation time. And of course, we know in chapter 25 of Matthew, there's the great final exam, the sheep and the goats. Whatever you did to the least, you did to me, which is the final exam. You know, how much right. we served our brothers and sisters, how much we were projected outside of ourselves in love of the other. And so this is the preparation for Advent. It's awakening in us the need to be vigilant, not just for December 25th, but to be vigilant all of our life. And so I think what Jesus points to in the days of Noah, these are the days before the flood, which is for us a great symbol of baptism, of washing away the evil that we're born with and into, what we call original sin, and beginning a new life. And so Jesus points to those days of Noah and says that they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them away. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we could take that literally and say they were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage. But I think, you know, as we speak of the gospel, we also have to look at it in a broader context and not just a more literal way. They were distracted is what it was. They were distracted in such a way that they were more concerned about the I of life than the you, about themselves more than their neighbor. And in order to usher in a new life, Jesus speaks to us throughout the gospel about staying awake. And I think that is the key word today in the Gospel of Matthew, is to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. Because you do not know when the Son of Man, your Lord, will come. And so how do we stay awake? How are we vigilant? We're vigilant with the gospel in fulfilling all of the mandates, really, that are there, which is the mandate to love, to not focus on myself, to not be distracted by the subjectivity of myself and into myself. Meeting only my needs, what I want, etc., my way of thinking, my ideologies, and to look at the other. And especially for us, if we try to mature in the faith, especially to reach those who are different than we are, into dialogue. I mean, I'm just so grateful and so in admiration of how Pope Francis speaks of the culture of dialogue over and over, because the true death of the Christian faith is to coil up into ourselves and not be willing to talk, not be willing to encounter, not being willing to serve someone who is different than I am. That makes no sense to me. It makes no sense in terms of the gospel. And so we have to be vigilant. We have to stay awake. To be well-grounded in who we are, to be well-grounded in all that is required of the gospel, from the gospel, but also in that firmness of faith, then we're able to be free of the conditioning that's around us in order to speak and to dialogue with those who are different, hopefully giving them a new way of life, of seeing life through faith, and not just their own ideologies as well.
In my opinion, I think Pope Francis is doing a wonderful job of this dialogue. I mean, when we see some of the news stories and what he's done, I saw something a couple of weeks ago where there was a group of children and they were dressing up and they had clown noses on. You see a picture of him with a clown nose on, too. Yeah. I mean, he was dialoguing. He was right. with them.
Yeah.
You know, whoever they were and wherever they were from.
Right. A true teacher. I mean, St. Paul speaks of that so beautifully when he says to become all things to all people except in sin. You know, we can also mm-hmm. speak of the dignity of the office and putting a clown nose on, da da da, all that. But anyway, I think he's showing us the example that, you know, if it's not sinful, then we need to to be a part of other people's lives, to lead them to Christ. I remember many years ago when I was teaching in a high school, and one of the sister that was the principal of the school asked me to do something, and I don't even remember what it was, whether it was a retreat or something, and I really didn't. It was something that traditionally had been done in the school before I got there, and it really wasn't my thing, you know, my way of doing things. I would have, and I think later I did change it, but that first initial experience was just uncomfortable for me, I guess would be the right word. And so I called my spiritual director and I was telling him about it. And he just simply said to me, is what they're doing sinful? And I said, well, no, I mean, it's not sinful. He said, then?
Ooh, that long pause.
It was like pulling me out of myself and my way of seeing and doing things. And I think that's part of that staying awake. To stay awake to the gospel, staying awake to love, to charity, staying awake to the needs of others, and staying awake, toward the evangelization that we owe to people who might be opposed to us. We can't forget them either. Mm-hmm. We cannot forget that everyone is destined to live a life of faith and to have eternal life. So we can't turn our back or turn a blind eye to those situations.
This gospel really is a wonderful way for us to start off Advent.
Right.
So one of my questions to you, and I think, and you've answered it, you know, what should we be doing during this Advent season? So we need to stay awake and look at all those opportunities around us where we could be serving.
Right.
And helping our neighbors.
Right. And I would say what I said from the very beginning, that first paragraph of the gospel today, is not to be distracted. And I think part of Advent and certainly part of Lent is knowing ourselves and knowing what our distractions are. But when you know what the goal is, which is to, for us, is to have a deeper relationship, a deeper faith life in Jesus Christ, then we have to be aware of the things that attract us and the things that distract us. And both of those can be pitfalls for us. In other words, what in me do I find maybe from my sinful self that's attractive and that I'm drawn to, that draws me away from God, draws me away from God's will? We have to be aware of those things. We have to admit them in a mature way, that these are things in my life that attract me, and ultimately then, if I follow that attraction, I am distracted. I'm distracted from who I am. I'm distracted from a life of faith. I'm distracted from Jesus Christ, whom I want to serve with all my life, who I've given my life to. And so being aware of these things, I think this, you know, this is the whole process of staying awake. A lot of that is knowing, staying awake within ourselves, knowing what attracts us and what can distract us from a life of faith.
So if we went to the vigil yesterday or were at church this morning, we can think about that when that first candle is lit on the Advent wreath at church and in our own homes.
Right. And it's a beautiful, because it's four candles. It's a crescendo of being alert and awake. So, you know, as we go about what we have to do during this time of year, and certainly that some cases is shopping, but just to be alert, to be aware, and maybe even in the shopping experience is not to buy everything that I'm attracted to. And if I am attracted to everything, well, maybe that's something I need to look at. Do I need to have everything? Or do I need to buy the bigger gift than Aunt Molly gave me last year in order to look better in front of the family? You know, all of those kind of human dynamics that go inside of us that are very important that we stay aware of and stay alert and awake.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for December. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
A special evening of adoration, healing, and prayer is available to everyone at Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic Church, 1123 Main Drive in Corpus Christi, every second Friday of the month at 6 p.m. It will be an evening of spiritual healing, inviting God to prepare our hearts for adoration. You may call them at 361-241-2004 and send your petitions and testimonials. Father Gabriel invites you to attend, adore, and sit at the feet of Jesus and tell him your problems, and to experience conversion, compassion, forgiveness, peace, and joy. For more information, call Our Lady of the Rosary Parish Church, 361-241-2004.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View.
Right. So we'll begin this portion by reading the sentence that we repeat throughout the explanation, and really the sentence that we hope everyone tries to keep alive in their own heart and mind as they live life. So the sentence is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 12. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. This is an expression St. Paul uses frequently. He wishes for special graces for his communities and at the same time prays to the Lord for them. Here he asks that the Thessalonians be granted the grace for an ever more abundant mutual love. This is not meant to appear as a veiled reprimand, as if mutual love were not already a reality in their community. Rather, it is a reminder of a law that exists in the very nature of love, that is, its constant growth. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. Love is at the very center of Christian life. If it does not grow, the whole life of a Christian suffers the consequences of being weak and eventually dying out. It is not enough to have understood in a moment of light what the commandment on love of neighbor means. It is not enough to have experienced in a burst of enthusiasm love's impetus and zeal at the beginning of our conversion to a more gospel-oriented life. We need to make love grow by keeping it alive, active, and concrete. This will happen if we make quick and generous use of the many opportunities offered to us each day. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. St. Paul believes that Christian communities should have the same freshness and warmth of a real family. It is easy to understand, therefore, his eagerness to draw attention to the dangers that might threaten them: individualism, superficiality, mediocrity. He wants them to avoid another serious danger as well, that is, of settling into a way of life that is orderly and peaceful, but narrow in its scope. He wants communities that are open to others. It is typical of charity to love brothers and sisters who share the same faith and, at the same time, reach out to everyone, to be sensitive to the problems and the needs of others. It is characteristic of love to build bridges with every person, recognize the positive, and unite one's hopes and efforts toward good with those of all people of goodwill. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. How should we live this Word of Life this month? We too can try to increase mutual love in our families, in our workplace, in our communities and ecclesial associations, in our parishes, and so on. This Word of Life asks us to have an overflowing love, a love that surpasses the mediocre standards and barriers of our subtle selfishness. It is enough to think of just some of the aspects of charity: tolerance, understanding, mutual acceptance, patience, readiness to serve, mercy toward true and presumed shortcomings of our neighbors, sharing of material goods, etc. To realize that there are many opportunities to put these words into practice. Clearly, such an atmosphere of mutual love in our community will not fail to radiate its warmth towards all others. Even those who do not yet know the Christian life will be attracted to it. And quite naturally, almost without realizing it, they will feel that they belong to the same family. Written by Kara Lubick.
Well, Bishop, when I read this, you know, usually these words of life tie into our Gospels so easily. And when I first read this, I thought, well, this really doesn't tie into the Gospel at all. And as I'm hearing you reading it, I'm thinking, absolutely it does.
Stay awake.
It does. Stay awake and be alert and right. Be aware.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think when she writes here that love is at the very center in that second paragraph there, that love is the very center and core of the Christian life. That's where we have to stay awake, because we can easily, as she said, here we can kind of slip into mediocrity. We can slip into individualism. It's all about me. We can slip into a comfortable life where we become dulled to the needs of others. There's so many things that you know, living in the world and trying not to be of it. I think this is the real stay awake message for Advent, because we do have to live in this world. I mean, nobody really will admire somebody who just tries to slip through life. And certainly we as Christians are not meant to be in this world as passive observers and let the world go on, because we're heading somewhere else.
Right.
That was never, ever the purpose of the gospel, of Jesus' message and his life among us. It was to transform the society, transform the world, to make a difference in the world, to be the light and the salt. That in some areas we'd become tasteless because we're to be salt, and the light was growing dim because we are to be the light of the world. But when we are of the world more than we are of the gospel, then these two effects, this tastelessness and this dimness of life, begin to appear. And so as we start Advent and we're called to stay alert, awake, we should stay, I mean, this is a perfect way to do it, is to just during this Lent maybe take this one sentence. May the Lord make you increase. As she said, it's not you're not already trying to love, but increase. Mm-hmm. That's the life of God in us. And through grace, abound in love for one another, means within your own family, within your parish community, and for all. So reaching out to others. To find ways to do that. That's what motivates and stirs up a new life inside of us. And so I think this is a wonderful way through the gospel just to look at how much we love in our life. And this is what is at the center of our life. And this is what Christmas is all about, that love has become incarnate among us and in us through Jesus Christ.
And the word that came to mind as you were talking about increasing and abounding in love is the unconditional love. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people love to talk about their pets, saying, oh, it's unconditional love. You know, the dog comes and wags the tail. The cat is always there. But what about our own family members and our friends? Mm-hmm. You know, do we sometimes not have that unconditional love for them if they're different than we are?
Right. And I think, you know, just to help people, help ourselves too, because as this verse from St. Paul speaks of, increase and abound. I mean, sometimes there are real hurts in people's lives.
True.
So to immediately put on unconditional love in those situations could be rather dramatic and difficult. Now, God's grace is beyond our imagining, so it could happen. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, is to begin to chip away at any kind of anger, hostility, hurt. Sometimes we have to take incremental steps,
baby steps,
yeah, instead of trying to just take it all in one chunk. And I think this is the very reason we do the Word of Life, just one sentence at a time. Don't try to take on the whole thing. But it's this gradual, slow process of evangelization that we begin to understand the beauty of it all. So even a little step toward a relative, a friend during this Lent that may have caused some pain in your life, can give you a taste of the beauty of love in these difficult situations, to where next time it might be a little bit more, and maybe the next time we'll buy him a gift for Christmas. Who knows?
Right.
But, you know, we have to realize that we can't stay where we are. If a person in a situation like that, and I'm glad you brought it up, because this time always brings up the issue of family and situations. But if we just stay where we are and we wallow in our anger, we all wallow in our hurt the rest of our life, what good are we? We're no salt. We're no light.
We become bitter.
Yeah.
And we've seen that in
the
people.
Opposite. Yeah. So take a little baby step. I mean, chip away at whatever that you can do, each one of us can do in these situations, with a little reach out, a little outreach. I think the results may be amazing.
Wonderful. All right, Bishop, if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that gathered at his right hand, they may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time.